Drawing from Second Book of Peter, chapter 3, verses 14 to 18, we contemplate the profound declaration, since you are looking forward to this, what then is this, this that Peter speaks of? What is it that the church, the truly redeemed saints, parishioners, that is, ardently yearns for and anticipates with fervent hope? What do you, the congregation of Suji Bangju Church, eagerly await? As the Apostle Peter sensed the imminent approach of his own demise, he penned these two epistles, First Book of Peter and the second, culminating in this conclusive exhortation to the church. In verse 14, he proclaims, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with them." This refers to the glorious return, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The early church eagerly awaited the return of Jesus Christ, longing for the glory of that day, the new heavens and new earth, and their entrance into the new Jerusalem. Indeed, the true church, the genuine parishioners, fixed their gaze upon the promise of Jesus. "I will come again." Their focus is intently set upon that day of his return, to the church, which awaits the Lord's coming. The Apostle Peter delivers this final admonition today, emphasizing three crucial points. Firstly, he urges us to strive to be found in peace. Verse 14 declares, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with them." Jesus will surely come, though to some his coming may seem delayed, leading to scoffing and denial of his return. Jesus will undoubtedly return according to his covenant. Just as God promised and sent the Savior in the Old Testament, and after long anticipation, Jesus came as the Redeemer, so too will he return as he promised upon his ascension, saying, "I will come again." He will return soon. For some, the day of Jesus' coming will be a great and terrifying day of judgment. They will appear before judgment to receive their due. Those who disbelieve in the second coming, and thus boldly indulge in sin, will face judgment with fear and trembling when Jesus returns. However, on that same day, others will be welcomed with the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." Book of Matthew 25:21. These will appear in peace, inheriting the promised kingdom of heaven. We too must strive to be among those who appear in peace, yet this does not happen effortlessly. It is not an automatic outcome of church membership or merely bearing the title of parishioner or pastor. We are exhorted to make every effort to be found at peace. We must exert ourselves. Re-examining verse 14, it states, "Make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with them." When we stand before the Lord, when Jesus returns, all will stand before him. At that moment, we must strive to stand spotless and blameless. The phrase spotless and blameless echoes the sacrificial laws of the Old Testament in Leviticus. In ancient times, sacrifices were offered to God, and the sacrificial animal, a lamb, ox, or goat, had to be without blemish, pure. Only then would it be acceptable to God, a pleasing offering. An animal with a spot or blemish, an impure sacrifice, was unacceptable to God. God would not receive such offerings. To be an acceptable offering, to be received by God, one must be spotless, blameless, and pure. We must strive to stand before God, spotless, blameless, and pure. In 2 Book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 13, false teachers are described as blots and blemishes. What does this signify? It means they are unacceptable to God. Those who disbelieve in the Lord's return and thus boldly indulge in sin, living according to their fleshly desires, will not be received by God. Conversely, Jesus is described in 1 Book of Peter chapter 1 verse 19 as a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus was without blemish, without spot, and pure. He was without sin, living a holy life. Therefore, he offered himself as a sacrifice on the cross. God gladly accepted him. Parishioners who await the Lord's return must be spotless and blameless. They must be pure. Like Jesus, they must be holy and undefiled. We must strive to become so. We must not live according to fleshly desires. Like the false teachers, we must follow the Spirit, Holy Spirit. We must obey the truth. Do not consider any commandment insignificant. Strive to keep every single one before God. We must contend with ourselves, lest we follow the path of Balaam, who was led astray by the wages of wickedness and descended to destruction. Like a bride preparing for her groom, we must prepare for Christ's return, guarding our spiritual purity. We must strive for this. To strive implies that we are not yet perfect. We have spots. We have blemishes. We are not pure. Yet, we are called to endeavor to become so. To what extent should we strive? We must strive to be without blemish, without spot, to be pure, to be like Jesus. We must strive to reach the full measure of Christ's perfection, to attain that complete holiness. We must strive. We cannot live a lukewarm faith, thinking, I believe in Jesus. So even if it's a shameful salvation, I'll be saved. Even if I wear a dog fur hat, I'll still go to heaven. We must not live our faith casually or half-heartedly. We must strive. We must do our utmost. We must endeavor to reach the perfection of Jesus Christ. We must strive to be spotless, blameless, pure, and to attain the standard of Jesus. Our Suji Bangju Church lives its faith in this manner. We do not live our faith casually. One cannot come to Bangju Church and live a casual faith. You have to extend beyond just registering at the Bangju Church. You have to assert yourselves always. We must strive. We must do our best to live our faith until we reach the perfect standard of Jesus Christ. Why is our church so particular? It is not that our church alone is particular. Rather, this is how a true church and a genuine saints, parishioners, live their faith. This is the first admonition that the Apostle Peter, recognizing his impending death, left for the church as his final testament to the church that awaits the Lord's return. Let us strive in our faith. Secondly, we must be careful not to fall from our steadfastness. Verse 15 states, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. Again, he addresses those who complain or doubt that the Lord's return is delayed. The delay in the Lord's return is not due to God's lack of power or any problem. Rather, he is patiently waiting. He is deferring his judgment. He is extending the time for repentance so that sinners may not perish in their sin. We still have family members who do not believe, our husbands, wives, parents, and children who do not yet believe. He is waiting for them to repent and return, even delaying the time of his return for their sake. The long-suffering patience of Jesus Christ brings about our salvation. However, when the time comes, Jesus will surely return. Not only Peter, but also Paul taught and emphasized this repeatedly in his letters. Verse 16 and 17 state, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be careful that you are not carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. Amen. The Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, also taught and emphasized the Lord's coming repeatedly through various letters. The problem, however, was that there were attempts to forcibly interpret difficult passages in his teachings about the Lord's coming. The Apostle Peter refers to these individuals as ignorant, and those who believe and follow their distorted interpretations are called unstable. He warns that by forcibly conducting the exegesis of the scriptures, they bring about their own destruction. Even now, there are ignorant individuals who try to forcibly interpret matters related to the Lord's coming, and there are unstable people who believe and follow them. As the Lord's coming is delayed, various cults and false teachings emerge, leading people astray. Jesus clearly stated that the time and season of his return are not for us to know. Although Jesus will surely return, and certainly return, he explicitly said that the time and season are not for us to know. Despite this clear statement, there are still those who try to calculate that day. There are those who try to forcibly conduct the exegesis of the scriptures in the past there was a group in Korea called Dami Mission. Dami Mission means prepare for the coming future. They calculated the date of the Lord's return. The calculated date was October 28, 1992. On that day, they gathered on a hill, dressed in white robes, singing hymns and preparing to welcome Jesus' return. What happened? The entire nation of Korea watched this scene live on TV news. What happened? Did Jesus come? No, he did not. It ended as a big happening. However, this was not just a big happening. Because of that incident, the Korean church lost its eschatological faith, its faith in the second coming. The church could no longer preach messages like Jesus is coming again. If they preached such things, they were ridiculed and scorned. People became very uncomfortable. What? Is this church also a cult? They suspected, they would say to themselves. Brothers and sisters, the early church in the Bible was strong, wasn't it? They were able to maintain their faith amidst various tribulations, persecutions, confiscation of property, expulsion from their homes, and even martyrdom because they had that strong faith in the second coming. It was because they had an eschatological faith. It was because they had an earnest longing for Jesus to return. Because they had this faith, they could not be deprived of their faith, even to the point of shedding their blood as martyrs. Even when threatened with death, however, due to the October 28th incident, the Korean church lost its eschatological faith and its faith in the second coming. When that was lost, its power was also lost. Unable to look forward to the Lord's coming, they began to look only at earthly glories, values, and successes, and thus became corrupt. This is what happens when one forcibly interprets the scriptures. Furthermore, many reincarnated Jesuses have appeared in the Korean church in connection with the Lord's coming. Park Tae-sun of the Olive Tree Movement, Moon Sung-myung of the Unification Church, An Sang-hong of the Church of God, Iman-hee of Shincheonji, and perhaps some of you here from Shincheonji, pretending not to be, and Jung Myung-seok of GIAMS. These are all ignorant individuals who forcibly interpret the Bible to deceive people. Countless unstable people are still being led astray by their deceptions and heading towards destruction. The Apostle Peter says in verse 17, "Be careful that you are not carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position." We too can be led astray by deception. We too can fall from our steadfastness. Therefore, the Apostle Peter warns us to be careful, to be vigilant, to be on guard. Among those who were involved in Shincheonji, many were originally members of our churches. They were zealous and fervent individuals, but they fell from their steadfastness. They were led astray by deception. There is a pastor named Shim Hyun-wook. He was known as one of the seven eyes in Shincheonji and taught Shincheonji theology. By God's grace, he repented and left Shincheonji and is now a Presbyterian pastor. He once came to our Bangju church and gave a lecture warning us about Shincheonji. He said that our church, though possessing the truth, does not evangelize. That's right, brothers and sisters. But Shincheonji, which has a false gospel with a distorted truth, evangelizes with zeal. But who do they evangelize? 2. They don't preach the gospel to people extrinsic to the church. They target believers within the church, and they don't just evangelize anyone. They specifically target zealous, fervent, and dedicated members within the church. So if you remain in the church, you are the one or the other, either those whom Shincheonji dares not to touch or those whom they choose not to touch. Which ones are you? Those who fell into cults were once church members. Why did that happen? They were led astray by deception. They fell from their steadfastness, but Peter warns, be careful that you are not carried away and fall from your secure position. Anyone can fall. We are no different. Therefore, we must be careful. Be careful that you are not carried away and fall from your secure position. Here, secure position means firmness, steadfastness, and unwavering faith rooted in the truth of Jesus Christ and the teachings of the apostles. But these are instances where people fall from their secure position. We are warned to be careful not to fall. We must stand firm on the word of Christ. We must build our faith firmly on the truth received from the apostles, so as not to fall. While holding on to the word of Christ and the truth taught by the apostles, we can discern deception. We can overcome the temptations of the devil. When Jesus was tempted, he discerned deception with the word and overcame temptation with the word. When Jesus fasted for 40 days and was very hungry, the devil tempted him. The first temptation was to command these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He discerned that the devil's deception and overcame temptation with the written word of God. The devil tempted him a second time, showing him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, "Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all of this." Even then Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. He discerned with the written word of God and triumphed over the word. The devil tempted him again, taking him to the highest point of the temple. He said, "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 6. He said, "If you are the Son of God, prove yourself, throw yourself down." Then Jesus answered again, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. Jesus overcame the devil. He overcame three times. He completely triumphed. How did he triumph? It was by the written word of God. He discerned deception with the written word and was able to overcome temptation with the word. The word of the Lord God triumphs. If we stand firm on that word, we will be able to discern deception and overcome temptation. Conversely, if we do not have the word, if we do not stand on the word, we will perish. In the beginning, Eve was also deceived by the devil. What did Eve say then? She said, "Surely I will not die if I eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Eve did not firmly establish herself on the word of God. Consequently, she succumbed to deception and surely died. There are many temptations related to the Lord's coming. However, let us be careful, vigilant, and on guard, rooting ourselves in the word of Christ and the faith taught by the apostles, so that we do not slip. Let us be careful. Let us be vigilant. Amen. Finally, we are exhorted to continually grow in our faith. Verse 18 states, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." This is Peter's final admonition to the church as he recognized his impending death, urging them to continually grow and mature in faith. Our faith must continually grow. To what extent should it grow? We must grow until we reach the full and complete measure of Jesus Christ. What happens if we fail to grow? If our growth stops, we regress. There is no such thing as remaining stagnant in our faith. We either continually grow or regress. It is one of the two. If we ride a bicycle and keep moving forward, what happens if we stop? We fall. To avoid falling, we must keep moving forward. There is no standing still. Standing still is already falling. Our faith is the same. A faith that is not growing, a faith that is stagnant, is already in a fallen state. Our spiritual growth must not stop. We must continually grow. Our Bangju Church must grow more in 2025 than in 2024. We must mature more in 2026 than in 2025. We must continually grow. How can we grow? He mentions two things. He says to grow in the grace of Christ. When we are in grace, our salvation grows. Our salvation, our being born into life, was not by our toil, zeal, or effort, but by the grace of God. Likewise, the growth of salvation is also by the grace of Christ. Therefore, by abiding in grace, we can grow. How can we receive grace? We must come to the place of grace, and when grace is bestowed, we must humbly receive it. I believe this place is a place of grace. The place where the word is proclaimed is the place where grace is bestowed. We must come to this place, and when grace is bestowed, we must be humble to receive it. By abiding in that grace, we can continually grow spiritually. And he says to grow in the knowledge of Christ. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." In Hosea 6:3, It says, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. To know the Lord does not merely mean to learn about the Lord through Bible study. It means to know Him experientially, to draw near to the Lord God, to associate and commune with Him, to know Him relationally. When a husband and wife know each other, it is not by studying each other. It is by spending a long time together, intimately associating and communing, and knowing each other relationally. As we draw near to Christ and deeply associate with Him, we come to know Him. As we know Him, we become like Him. We become like His thoughts and heart, His character and nature. As we do, we mature to His full and perfect measure. Jesus is coming again. He will return soon. We, living on this earth, are not looking at the glories of this earth, but at the second coming of Jesus Christ. As we look forward, I pray that we may strive to be spotless, blameless, and pure, to be like Jesus, so that we may appear before the Lord in peace. And although there are many deceptive words related to the Lord's coming, let us be careful and vigilant, rooting ourselves in the word of Jesus Christ and the faith taught by the apostles, so that we do not fall from our unwavering faith. Let us be careful, let us be vigilant, let us humbly receive grace, and by drawing near to Christ and knowing Him, let us become like Him and continually mature. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Let us pray with one voice, holding on to the word.